Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. Tiki Barber.
Everybody is wrong focusing on Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt was the one that controlled the clock. Nick Chubb scored a touchdown. You're not ever going to fault someone for scoring a touchdown.
Brandon Tierney.
It's hard to beat a team three times in a single season. The desperate team is a dangerous team.
Well, they're desperate because they got holes, and they're not really that good. Or they're not as good as maybe some people thought they were.
Tiki and Tierney on The Fan, 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Howdy, 10:02 on The Fan. What's happening? This is the Tiki and Tierney Show. Let's go on this Tuesday. 877-337-6666 is our number. Everybody a little tired today. Staying up late watching the Giants and the Cowboys. And Teak, it is your show out of the shoot, brother. What's happening?
BT, you know, we put on a good show, I think.
I like to think that we do.
We have a lot of good opinions. Sometimes you get really fiery, screaming, yelling about your Jets rants and everything else. I rarely get that way. But I will say, you have to listen to our show because I've been telling you since the very beginning of training camp that the New York Giants are going to be better. They're not going to be great. They're going to win some games, and it's about the process. Stop listening, Giants fans, to all of these pregame prognosticators and these betting experts and everyone else who told you the Giants are going to win this game. The Giants are the better team. The Giants are not the better team. We wanted the Giants to win. We are Giants fans. They came correct. Hell yeah. Shout out to Giants fans with the whiteout last night on Monday Night Football. And we all believed in our minds that maybe they can find a way to do it, just like they did in week one, just like they did in week two. But the Giants weren't supposed to win this game last night against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are simply better. Especially on defense. We talked about it. And we focused on Micah Parsons, but it was DeMarcus Lawrence coming off the other side on Evan Neal, who's a rookie, whose feet are still jacked up. He lunges for every block. Four of the five sacks were on Evan Neal, the first round right tackle for the New York Giants. But we knew this, at least if you listen to our show, you knew this. The Giants have so much work to do in order to be an elite team. They are not a bad team. They are not really a great team. They're kind of just in the middle. They're going to steal some games here and there. They're going to scheme their way to success. And we saw a little bit of that with Mike Kafka early in the game. You saw it with Wink Martindale and how he was able to keep this thing close despite some of the malfunctions offensively for the New York Giants. The Giants are a good average team that needs a lot of work to get better. I've been saying this since the very beginning. Don't focus on the wins. Focus on the process. Focus on who or who is not getting better and will be here the next year. And I know it's hard to say that because we're talking about, hey, it's all wins and losses. If we go 3-0 and then we take on the Bears and we're 4-0, hell, we're making the postseason. We might win a Super Bowl. That is not in the cards for the Giants this year. Keep it real. I mean, I've been on a keep it real.
Yeah, what is this keep it real?
I don't know, but I've been on a keep it real kick for 2 weeks now, BT. I got to keep it real because I got to talk about what I see and what I know. The Giants weren't supposed to win this game. We wanted them to. I wanted them to. Hell, I was on Monday QB on CBS Sports Network saying the Giants are going to win this thing.
You're as guilty as the other pundits.
20-16. It's what I wanted to happen. And as a Giants fan, I had to say
You have to say Giants
but
on Dallas.
You and I hit this yesterday
this game was either going to be really close, like it was, or the Giants were going to get blown out because they don't quite have the talent. But let's not get upset about Daniel Jones just can't get it done. Let's not get upset about, they gave up five sacks and Evan Neal's a bust. He's a rookie, dude. He played right tackle against one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. The Cowboys are leading the NFL in sacks, by the way. So like, get this right. The Giants are a good team that plays hard. They're going to steal some wins for teams that make mistakes, but it's about the process. They were not supposed to win this game last night.
Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are here for a reason. I mean, Gettleman drove them into the ground. They were, for the most part, bereft of talent. Their salary cap was completely tapped out. There was no winning DNA in the building. There was an apathy that permeated one of the best fan bases in all the sport. I mean, this isn't just, let me just come in with the summer home and do a little touch-up with the doorknob. This is, I got to level the whole damn thing.
That's right.
And I got to build from a new foundation. And I got to tell you, I know the Giants lost, and everything that Tiki said, I completely co-sign. There's two ways to view this. The pragmatic way, which is what Tiki just hit and has been hitting really the entire summer and the early stages of the season, despite the early euphoric tone with the two wins, or the emotional way, which is what most fans tend to gravitate to. Now, maybe the answer somewhere is in between. I think at some point this year, the Giants will beat a team they're not supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. There will be a game where, and you could even say the Tennessee Titans probably falls into that category for week one, maybe. I don't think Tennessee's that good. I also think that the Giants will have a game where they play so wretchedly based on a big gap in talent disparity from there. Maybe the Eagles game, whatever. There's going to be a game where we come in here, it's like 37-10, and we're like, oh, not that we doubt the direction of the team, but it's a sobering reminder what Tiki has been telling you. You could either choose to acknowledge or you can ignore. That's up to you. But I'll tell you this. If I'm a Giants fan watching that game last night, and I know you want every win that you can stick in your back pocket, I feel pretty damn good about my team. I sit there, and you brought up Kafka. First quarter, very, very creative play call. Get to the line of scrimmage. Get him in a flow. Get the tight end involved. Saquon doing stuff. Jones looked really good early. Got his head handed to him. Mm-hmm. That's not Danny Jones' fault. You just look at, and you know, it's funny because I talk about the pragmatic versus the emotional conflict within. I was on the emotional side yesterday, though I stand by everything that I said about Robert Saleh and the Jets, because it was pragmatically driven. It was just delivered emotionally. But from an emotional point of view, Teak, I'm not even a Giants guy. I'm sitting there watching Daboll with his FDNY hat, the beard. Looks like any dude that plays softball on a Sunday. He's got the windbreaker. The crowd is juiced up. And you played a four-quarter competitive game against a team that is just better than you.
Yeah,
and I don't know what else you want.
Cooper Rush is a good quarterback. Let's not forget.
He's pretty talented.
They are starting in Dallas, not here. They are starting in Dallas to create a QB controversy. Are you kidding
me? Well, Jerry's the one who's leading the charge.
I know,
he actually said it the other day, Jerry Jones. Talk about saying it. I mean, even if it's true, that's a dumb thing for Jerry Jones to say. Come on, man.
He just paid Dak Prescott $100-something million bucks. Why you want a QB controversy? So my point is, Cooper Rush is 3-0 in his three starts, two of them this year and obviously one last year with the Cowboys. And so he's not a horrible quarterback. He's like that super backup, right? He's never going to be an all-pro or a Pro Bowl quarterback, Cooper Rush. At least I don't think he is. But he's the guy you want if your starter goes down and can get you in the right plays, make the right decisions. He's not going to make mistakes. He can throw any ball you need to throw. And so Cooper Rush, who we talked about as, you got Cooper Rush, not Dak Prescott. Cooper Rush is a pretty damn good quarterback. And it just continues to highlight that when the Giants this season are playing a really good, a well-constructed team, because we talk about the defense from the secondary with Diggs and the pass rush with Micah Parsons and the Marcus Lawrence, and the other kid was good as well. I can't remember his name now. He had a sack and a couple pressures as well. A pretty good second level as well. The Cowboys' defense is good. Their offense has some playmakers on it. Tony Pollard is a stud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is greater than Ezekiel Elliott at this point.
No question.
CeeDee Lamb is going to be a star. He's going to save that one touchdown he dropped. But the reality of this game is that the Cowboys easily could have been up 21-6 at halftime. Give the Giants credit. Well, they got a little lucky on the CeeDee Lamb drop. But give them credit for being stout in the red area. and keeping those to field goals. And then on offense, just doing enough to keep the thing close until it got into the fourth quarter. Once it got into the fourth quarter, the Cowboys, led by Cooper Rush on a 90-play drive, stole the game, right? They took it away from the New York Giants on the road. But I restate, the Cowboys were supposed to win this game, not the Giants. Don't be getting upset with Daniel Jones. He actually played pretty well.
I was impressed with, right? Daniel Jones.
Don't get upset with, you know, the defense. They played pretty well for most of the game. But this is exactly what you should have expected if you listen to what I've been saying all season long. It's about the process. And look, Evan Neal's got some work to do at right tackle. Sterling Shepard is done for the season, maybe his career at this point. I mean, it sucks.
That was not a turf thing. I saw a lot on Twitter. That was not a cut. That was not a plant. That was not the turf. That looked antique. You know more than me. That was looked like a knee that either was overworked and as the Achilles was brought back to life. That thing was going to go at some point
and
anyway.
And it sucks because I really like Sterling Shepard.
Yep. How about that block you had on Barkley's big run?
One as a receiver, but also as a blocker.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we said this in week one. Like, he inserts into the line. Like, they motion him down, and he blocks the safety in the tackle gap. It's just awesome what he was asked to do, and he would do it willingly, and it seems like his season is definitely over, but maybe even his career. We hope not, but sucks for Sterling Shepard.
It does, no question. 877-337-6666. If you're wondering about Kenny Golladay, I had him at 22 snaps, no catches, 3 targets, 1 drop. If you're into the next-gen stuff, and with Golladay, I think it's real. Some of it's overkill. But I think with Kenny Golladay, I think it's pertinent because as we reacted to the video that we saw this summer of him apparently loafing through some drills and not really getting after it, he created, on the 3 targets, 1.74 yards of separation. The league average is 2.91. So, I mean, if you want to have some sort of comparison, if the Major League fastball averages 94 change, that's like somebody throwing 82.
Yeah.
He just can't move.
Yeah, he's not.
He can't run.
He's not explosive. He never was,
but now it's painfully apparent.
It's the route running that you start to look at. Like, you don't have to be explosive to be a great route runner, but he's got to have to step up. So, again, as we look forward, we say, who's filling Sterling Shepard's role, and can it be Kenny Golladay? The one thing that you know, at least from last week, is that he grinded in practice.
But right? He did nothing when the game started.
It didn't translate.
My answer is no. I think he's shot. I think he's cooked. I think it's over. That's my opinion on him.
Yeah.
Not the Giants. Everything else.
And again, he's not the story of this game at all.
Yeah. And you know, I got to tell you, one
he's
thing.
He's just a piece of it.
Yeah, no question. One thing that I hear a lot, not that I care, but, oh, you guys, and not you, Teague, but like me with the Jets and Beningo over the years with it, you guys are so negative. Listen, here we are today, at least from my point of view, I'm lauding the Giants after a loss because I understand the perspective and where they are so early in the race. I mean, I don't think it's unfair to get on a coach whose team makes the same mistakes, even if they're not fully ready to win. That's a coaching thing. And that, as I said yesterday, applies to Robert Saleh. But last night, you know, with Dable, you know, he's barking at the refs. By the way, Giants got hosed a couple times on calls.
No doubt.
Now, they missed one in the end zone on the wraparound, the pass interference.
That was Darnay Holmes.
Yeah. Yes. But the call on Shepard was a joke. That was maybe the most egregious offensive pass interference I've ever seen in my life. There were some other calls that they got that I thought they got the wrong end of. And I just love watching Dable work the refs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nothing crazy, but direct, a couple of F-bombs, let them know I'm here, this is my team, I'm going to get their back. And from a Giants point of view, I know you went into the stadium hoping to win, maybe some of you expecting to win. Schultz was out, obviously some other injuries. Gallup not yet back last night, the starting quarterback out. But Tiki's right. This thing's moving in the right direction. There's a lot to latch on to. And now you know what? You don't have the Bears and you don't have the Packers in Lambeau. You don't have the Bills up in Buffalo coming up. You've got the Bears.
That's right.
At MetLife.
A very winnable game.
That's right.
And Justin Fields has completed 22 passes in 3 games.
Is that the number?
22 passes in three games.
Nice. So about 7 1/3, right? Am I doing that right? 7-14-21.
Right. No, you're right. That's
33
right.
to 3.
That's exact right math. Yikes. Exact right math.
All right. So listen, good to see the young pass rushers on the field last night as well. You know, Giants getting a little hole there, but now we give you a chance to react to what you guys saw. We're going to get the calls coming up. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan right here on this Tuesday inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. By the way, those jerseys. Oh, God, those jerseys were clean. Those unis were tight.
I love that.
I like those unis. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan.
Let it rip. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
All righty, Tiki and Tierney back here on the Fan. You know, Tiki, I get it. It is what it is. It's kind of the game that we do every day on the radio. But we do have this incessant need to microwave everything.
Yes.
You know, it's sometimes it works, and our instincts lead us in the right direction. And sometimes we look like dopes. You know, we call up a kid from the minors. He's 1 for 19.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? You know, you draft a quarterback with no offensive line, no weapons. You destroy the kid. It's not really his fault. It's a product of what's not really around him. And again, you know, I look at this Giants situation and I really compare it to the Jets, where the Jets have a year plus head start on the massive rebuild that both teams desperately needed. And I look at this and I say, all right, the last 6 years, including this season, obviously, the Giants have had four coaches. And, you know, the last 5 or 6 years in terms of win totals, it's been 3, 5, 4, 6, and 4.
Yeah.
These guys are here for a reason. So, on the surface, on the macro level, I love what I'm seeing from the Giants despite the loss. And on the micro level, I like what I'm seeing from the Giants despite the loss.
Look, they play hard.
Yeah,
That's really what you need to see, more importantly than anything else, is how hard are they playing. And they're also young. There's a couple of guys you could get on. Kayvon Thibodeau, I mean, he didn't really show up. He only had one pressure on the night and 19 drop-back situations. He played 35 plays in total. Only really one pressure. But a lot of that is explainable because they chipped him a lot. Like, they kept a tight end to his side. He tried to flop a couple of times. He is coming off a knee injury. It's his first game. It's his very first game as a pro. And so he's still getting his sea legs. The real only issue you had was Evan Neal, who was really bad in pass protection. Like, his feet aren't—he's setting his feet, which is what you shouldn't do as a tackle. You don't block someone with your hands. Right? As soon as someone gets into your body, if you reach, you're done. And so he was dropping, getting engaged by DeMarcus Lawrence, and it's just lunging at him with his hands instead of continuing to drop back with his feet. Like, if you watch Tristan Wirfs, who's down in Tampa, is one of the best right tackles in football, all pro as a rookie, right? He never blocks anyone with his hands. Only time he hits you with his hands is when you're in his chest. He's blocking you with his feet. So Evan Neal's feet were really bad last night. It's why he gave up five pressures.
Was it a four sacks? Did he give up the
four
three and
sacks?
A half, four?
Yeah, four. One of them they didn't count for him, but he did fall down, and it was his guy that ultimately got the sack. So it was really four sacks and I think five or six pressures.
Mm-hmm.
It's really his feet. Now, as a rookie, you kind of can expect that, but it was glaring because it stopped. It disallowed the Giants from making some plays downfield.
Yeah, we were going through that frame by frame on all the sacks that Neal allowed this morning, and you know it's very apparent. I don't care if you played 1 year of football, no years of football, football in the street, or you played in college. I mean, you don't need much aptitude to understand what Tiki just said.
Yeah.
He's just very stationary,
yep,
and he's using his hands, hoping that his size and his length could push the guy out of the play, but he just turns the corner, he's by him.
That's right.
They're going to clean that up. But other than that, all in all, competitive, and really what we expected. I thought Dallas would win, and I thought it would hit the under. It pushed on the under. Dallas did win. You know, you expected a very competitive, low-scoring game, hoping the Giants would win, but you thought Dallas would probably emerge victorious, and here we are.
That's right.
877-337-6666. Sonny and Malvern, first up.
What up, Sonny?
On this Tuesday. What up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. I think you're both right on target, as you know, big Giant fan here. I agree with both of you guys. I support the Giants. I think they are still rebuilding, obviously. I think they still have the right coach, as you said, BT, and I didn't expect them to win, so I'm not that surprised.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, sitting here today talking to you guys. First up is the head coach. Listen, this guy's the right coach. You know, I love him like you do, BT. I think he's the right fit for the Giants. He's changed the organization. But I think a few things I disagree with him on, and you guys have your own opinion. I think at the end of the first half, I don't think he should have gone for it there at the 50, knowing that if they didn't get it, Dallas has that great kicker who's kicked more than, yes, I think, two, three field goals over 60 yards. That's number one. Number two, he burned a timeout in the fourth quarter on defense, which I don't think he should have done. Mm-hmm. And then I think he should have threw a challenge flag when Dallas on that, I think it was fourth and four, and Lamb caught that pass, and it was kind of whether he got it or not. So three you know, little mistakes, but he's first-year coach, so not a big deal there, but just my opinion. Jones, I think
he... Sonny, hang on one second. By the way, did you think that that was a first down? I thought he barely got it. I thought, maybe challengeable.
Yeah, because, it was a bang-bang thing. Uh-huh. They're going to always give you forward progress where the, like, the initial catch was.
Yep.
And that made it a first down. And Sonny, before you go forward, I agree with you on the halftime, you know, situation. If they were going to go for it on fourth down, you needed to take a shot, because the Cowboys knew that the Giants were trying to get a first down and then call timeout and kick a field goal, right? Double move there. Let Daniel Jones throw a ball downfield. If it's complete and you have a wide open play, it's a touchdown, right? Or at least you're closer. But it also runs more clock, right? If instead of throwing a three-step, whatever it was, a slant to Kenny Golladay, throw the ball downfield. So if it's incomplete, the Cowboys can only run one play as opposed to running two plays, which allowed them a field goal opportunity. They missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really the only issue I had, was that halftime, you know, situation with Coach Dable.
Yeah, and listen, he's the head coach, so he's responsible for all the coaches, and I think he should have shaded some guys over to the right side to Neil to help with that pass protection, because he was getting eaten alive, as everybody saw.
He was.
So I think he could have helped out there. As far as Jones, I don't think he did anything wrong. You know, obviously he was under duress the whole day. The offensive line is still a huge issue. I think he still has to – I don't know how you can correct this. He still has to have better awareness when people are around him and get the ball out a little bit quicker. He has the longest release time of anybody in the NFL.
That's right.
Which Steve Young, you know, obviously put there in the introduction there. And he also said that Jones, I think, has the – he criticized him a lot, which I didn't really, you know, understand or really know why.
Because Jones, he's a former Cowboy. That's why.
Yeah,
Troy's biased, man. Come on. You know what you're getting when you're listening to Troy.
That's a little much, Troy.
A little much. Right?
He's up there acting like they win championships every year.
I know.
Dude, the last time he won, I was in college.
Exactly.
I'm not young anymore.
That's right.
I mean, it's been a while.
Was he the last?
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. Right? I remember watching it on campus.
He's been retired for a long time.
I mean, yeah, Troy's been on the golf course for a long time.
I wasn't even alive.
I mean, but yeah, no, I guess.
Is that right?
What are you trying to say, Zoo? You're trying to flex the youth card is what you're trying to do? That's what he's doing. It's a power play right there.
Here he is. He's boarding us, and, you know, he's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
And he's never seen the Cowboys win a championship.
Although I'm not sure if he's just allowed to open up his mic and start spouting things off. Hoff's allowed to do that. Zoo, you got to know your place a little more. And do we need Kimble to, what's Kimble in the booth for? Yucking it up.
I don't know.
The first 2 minutes were moronic.
It made me leave.
Oh,
it made me leave at halftime.
Oh, God. Just the force laughter. Oh, that was so funny, Joe. Oh, Kimmel. Jimmy,
promotion.
When can I come back on your show, Jimmy?
Who cares, dude? We're ESPN. You're ABC. We're family.
Yeah, you're a bunch of A-listers. We get it. You're rich. Move on. We don't care. It's football. 877-337-6666. Sam is in Melville. What's happening,
Sammy?
How are you today?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Listen, man, I love you guys. I've called a couple times. And I always thought Tiki was fair and balanced.
And you think I'm not?
Tick,
you think I'm not?
You're definitely not now.
Why?
Because the Giants are making huge mistakes. The run defense was non-existent last night.
Yeah, the edges were bad.
The edges were really bad. First of all, I should say this. I'm a Jets fan. However, when I called before, my family, my father, my grandfather were Giants fans.
Yeah.
I would love for the Giants to win and do well. So this isn't a negative Giants call. I just want it to be fair and balanced. The run defense is horrible. They have no-name wide receivers. They had two or three critical delay of game penalties at critical points in the game. And then they had the ball with a chance to tie the game and threw an interception.
Yes. So why am I being unfair?
Because the Jets do the same thing, and it's the coach stinks. The Giants do the same thing, and it's the Giants are moving in the right direction.
So, first of all, I have never said the Jets stink. I said Jets fans had an inflated expectation for this season. And so after playing the way that they did, really all 3 weeks, you know, they had a great 2 minutes against the Cleveland Browns, but all 3 weeks you get pissed off because they're underperforming. I'm not pissed off at the Jets. This is what I expected for the Jets. So it's different. Now with the Giants, I've never said they're going to be good this year.
Not once.
The one thing that the Giants can look at and have some faith in is the run blocking of the offensive line and Saquon Barkley. What has been the one consistent in the 3 weeks of this season so far? The run blocking of the offensive line and Saquon Barkley. I know they're a work in progress, right? I've talked to this team. I've talked to the general manager. I've talked to the coach. They're going to turn over some more of this roster. So to sit here and expect that they're going to win and not make mistakes is just, it's diluted, right? Mm-hmm. They have so much work to do. Even last week when they won, Coach Daboll was like, this easily could have been a loss, and it doesn't matter. It's about the process. You gotta hear the message that's being disseminated in that locker room. And I'm not saying this is inside information because he said it publicly. You saw it at post-game. You gotta know what's happening with this Giants team and stop listening to these talking heads who don't dive into games. Like, they don't sit and watch every snap. They don't sit and watch, you know, the right tackle, the right guard, the left. They don't watch all these things. They just say, hey, the Giants are 2-0. They look like they're playing good. Saquon Barkley is back. Think of the talking points you heard leading up to this game. Saquon Barkley is back, right? They're 2-0. They got the Cowboys with Cooper Rush, who doesn't lose, by the way. He's got the Cowboys. They should win this game. Okay, did you watch any of the tape? They played terrible last week against the Carolina Panthers. They were able to win it because Carolina made a lot of mistakes as well. They played much better, especially in the run game, in week one against the Tennessee Titans. But the Tennessee Titans were a shell of who they were a year ago when they were the number one overall seed. So I'm just keeping it real. I'm not, like, making excuses for anybody. I'm just keeping it real and talking about what I see with both the Giants and also with the Jets.
Yeah.
So,
you're doing your job. If people don't like it, whatever. They're going to hear what they want to hear, and they're going to say what they want to say. I'll say this. There's an element of sensationalism on the national level, and I understand this, whether it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much Skip and Shannon talk about the Giants, but, like, I'm sure if it comes up on First Take or some of these other national shows, let's face it, if you can wedge a New York story into any national format,
100%.
You're going to do it because 100%. It's New York and there's 100%. 8 million of us here.
100%.
That's just, you got to understand. But when you get into the nuances of where they are and where they've been and who they are and what they might be, I mean, you've got to have a bit of a more measured approach. Yeah, you would have loved to have won, but if the Giants would have won last night, is anybody coming in today saying the Giants are ready to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Nope.
Not even close.
Nope.
But they're moving in the right direction.
Right.
And that's all you want. 877-337-6666. That's all you want to start. And then eventually, you know, the onus is on everybody to improve upon that. It's 1044 on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney Show. I've got a new trade proposal for Tiki in a second pertaining to your Giants.
Ooh.
I'll give it to you in a moment.
Okay.
A little later, we're going to, actually, in 15 minutes, top of the hour, we're getting to Judge. Something's got to change, and we've got to talk about that.
Not in a bad way, because they're still winning.
No.
But he, I mean, I heard yesterday.
Not a bad way.
He's not.
But in a way.
In a way. But he's not even taking batting practice. Like, he's
just
having a time to go through his normal process.
Well, we're going to get to it. It's going to be a big talking point on the show. I also heard a lot of sound coming from the Knicks and the Nets yesterday. And, you know, I've been very critical of the Nets and very critical of Randall last year with the Knicks. I got to tell you, to a man, now it's early and it's just words. Got to see it come into action. Although Irving, Durant, and Randall all struck a good enough tone to in media day yesterday for their respective teams to at least give you some hope that things have been stabilized in all those directions.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's
exactly. I'm going to take the optimistic approach with that for now.
You can't help but take the optimistic approach, but you're right. It felt like they were saying all the right things, but it's got to translate into accountability.
Mm-hmm. Something Kevin Durant spoke a lot about with the organization. We'll even play some of that for you later. So last week I said, Teak, what do you think about if I'm Joe Douglas? I mean, again, Denzel Mims is never active. He doesn't have a role on special teams. He's not playing. He evidently burned a second-round pick on him early in Joe's tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly Mims is not long for the Jets. So, you know, I said, well, you know, what if you make it a sixth? Then if he plays, you get a fifth or a fifth. And if he plays, you make it a fourth. I said, how about Denzel Mims for the Giants?
Yeah.
Because they've done business before with Leonard Williams, et cetera, who did not play last night. They could have used him.
Oh, they really could have used him.
So if Denzel Mims doesn't excite you, and I understand why he would not, because he hasn't done anything as a pro, right? Mm-hmm. Would you have any interest in Corey Davis from a Giants point of view? Shepard's done for the season.
Yeah. I mean, probably not, mainly because when you trade a guy, his contract as is goes with you unless you extend and renegotiate it. And the Giants just don't have the space for Corey Davis. Dims might, you know what I mean? Mims might be more interesting simply because his contract is less onerous, right? Because the signing bonus is wiped because it's already, I mean, it was minimal anyways. He was a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And his salary, I don't know what it is exactly. I'd have to look it up.
I'm going to guess $600,000-$800,000.
Yeah, maybe not even that.
Yeah, maybe not.
Like his salary is, you can easily get it onto the cap, right? Because when you look at where the Giants are right now, with Sterling Shepard out right now, Kenny Golladay is still trying to find his role here. I mean, it's David Sills, who was a free agent 3 years ago, and then he was a street free agent this offseason. Basically, he was nowhere. Kadarius Toney's had injury issues and hasn't had the consistency because of those injuries. And then Richie James, who was a seventh round pick in San Francisco back in whatever that was, 3 or 4 years ago. So it's not a ton. Wando Robinson's hurt too. So there's not a ton of options right now passing. As a result, you see Daniel Jones scrambling around last night. He didn't have a great statistical game, but I mean, he had 79 yards on the ground. It was almost because he had to.
Yeah, I know. Right? And it wasn't on a ton of carries either. I think it was 8 or 9 carries.
That's right.
Maybe.
So,
I mean, that's actually a lot for a quarterback, but the yards per attempt is tremendous.
The Giants are getting to the point where they're going to have to kind of do something.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know,
with the wide receiver group, I mean.
Yeah, no, I know. We're not going to waste everybody's time going through all the possible receiver targets for teams around the NFL. But locally, I mean, listen, the Jets are obviously going to divorce themselves, I would think, from Mims soon. And Corey Davis, one thing we discussed, and Joe Douglas has done this very well, the contracts that he grants these free agents, after he structures them so that after year two, could walk away, and it's pretty easy to do so.
That's right.
So that would also apply to the Giants.
That's right.
Right? So they'd have to absorb the money now, which is tough given their finances, but they could, in theory, cut him after the year, and it wouldn't be overly punitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? His base salary is just $1 million this year.
Okay. So why can't the Giants do it?
They probably could. The question is whether or not they have the appetite to go bring in someone else or if they're going to pull off the practice squad, especially because this is that kind of year where you're not, we need a guy to help us get to this. You know, you're not doing
that.
This
year, but this is where I'm going to disagree slightly. I hear you. I get it. Fundamentally, yes. If you want to get a look at kids, they're in the system. They're in. I get it. I understand. Next year, the urgency gets ratcheted up a bit. But I hate to even say this because here we are, you know, giving the Giants credit after a competitive loss because they look, you know, they're playing hard. But, dude, if you could steal a wild card while you're rebuilding, go for it.
No, I don't disagree with that, BT.
You're not going to steal one with a kid from the practice squad. Because if he's not getting reps now with some of the guys they're trotting out now, what is it? And no disrespect to those players. It's a grind. I respect
the journey, but they had good camps. That's why they're there.
Okay.
Right?
So. Okay. All right. 877-337-6666 is our number. Mark in Morganville on the Fan. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to bring up, I know Shepard's out for a while, and Galladay has definitely not lived up to expectations. But instead of trading, we have a guy we cut in Alex Bachman who could definitely come back and fill at least the starting Shepard role.
I like Bachman in the preseason. Did he land? Did he pick up anywhere else? That's the only thing I don't know. He's not on any roster. He's not on any practice squad right now.
And the only other thing I want to bring up was I've been looking at the future, of course, and the draft, and we're going to need another wide receiver. And I just want to think what you guys think of Jordan Allison out of USC.
No, we're talking. I can't talk draft in September.
I have no idea.
Mark. I know they're 3-0, and Lincoln's putting up points out there for the Trojans, and certainly not trying to shout you down, but man, it's September, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, barely September, I can't get into the draft yet.
I have
yet.
Not looked at a single,
let's get to Halloween.
Single draft prospect yet.
We have talked about some of the quarterbacks, the kid from Florida, obviously the Buckeyes quarterback, a couple of kids you keep an eye on. But
CJ Stroud.
Stroud.
Yeah.
Alabama, just in case, you know, the Giants, you know, this is before the season. If the Giants had a really, really rough season, you know, 2-3 wins and they're in the mix and Daniel Jones, you say goodbye to him. But we can't start splitting up scouting reports on wide receivers here. Not trying to be a jerk, but we can't do that now. Mark is in Bellport. What's happening, Mark? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, I'd like to say I wish the Giant team was as balanced as this show. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, and Tiki, I'm 58 years old, and I want to just tell you it was a pleasure just watching you play. So
thank you, man.
You know, thank you very much. You know, I still have your jersey.
Appreciate
it. My little daughter wears it every Sunday, so... You know, I'm a die. I, you know, if you cut me, blue blood comes out. I don't know what to tell you.
That's great.
But well, doesn't it? But Mark, doesn't everybody have blue before it hits the oxygen?
I heard that was like.
It might be an urban
myth. You know what?
Yeah.
You're kind of right there. I think you might be correct.
It's more like purple.
Wait, so I'm a Jets fan. I got blue blood. Oh, no. I know I should have been a Giants fan instead.
We're taking over. And, you know. But look, my dad, God rest his soul, he was
that stinks. Wait, we got him, especially since you're talking about your dad. Mark, hold on one sec.
Yeah.
Are you there with us, Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we got to let you go. But it sounds like your dad was a big Giants fan. Pass it on to you, and you pass it on to your beautiful little girl walking around wearing a Barber jersey.
That's right.
A Rondé Barber jersey.
I better not be.
How did you not know that was coming? 10 years, you didn't think I was going to set you up with a little zing there? You didn't feel that one coming?
Well, there's no blue in Tampa.
Still, I don't know. Maybe a Pro Bowl jersey.
Or it's a good one. Or it could be the
Virginia,
white jersey.
Or Virginia blue jersey. Here we go. Dude, I got answers for you.
We didn't have
not always the right ones.
We didn't have blue in Virginia.
Yeah, you did. You had blue and white
yeah, I guess it was like... I don't think of it as blue because it was so dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was almost black.
But it wasn't red or green.
It wasn't red, no.
Or white.
It was blue, but it was not giant blue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that like pop off the screen giant blue.
Mm-hmm. So you see what I got to deal with this guy? You see what every day?
I just want him to be wrong. So I'm just trying to make him wrong, even though he's right.
Zoo, do you still have your high school jersey?
I do. I have my freshman, sophomore, and senior year.
You did. What number did you wear?
I wore my freshman year. I wore 57. Then I wore 77 the rest of the way.
Oh, so that was when you started to grow. They're like, we got to get this guy in the trenches. He's not going to be playing linebacker anymore.
Yeah? I was quick off the ball. That's all good. What it is on that nose.
I could see that. 877-337-6666 is our number. Tiki and Tierney here on The Fan. So we got to get to Aaron Judge and a little advice for Aaron Boone. Later, Durant, Irving, Randall all spoke at Knicks and Nets Media Day, and we heard some interesting things. Tiki and I will get into that as well right here on a Tuesday on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.